Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder for Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group. Thanks for downloading The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Today, we have Jeff Siebert, the founder of Siebert Landscaping in Chicago, the host of an upcoming NALP field trip, Grow Group field trip that we're going to do. It's going to be very exciting to talk to Jeff, an incredible conversation. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since cooking on a griddle. I recently installed a 30-inch gas griddle at my house, and folks, I'm having a blast cooking on it. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. I've been trying to perfect it, and while I'm a long ways from that, I'm getting better and better, or so says the family. So far, the best thing I've cooked on the griddle is breakfast, but my smash burgers are rapidly improving. Do you have some recipes or some great griddle things to share with me, some tips? Please send them to me at grow@growgroupinc.com. Now on to this week's edition of The Grow Show. Jeff Siebert from Siebert Landscaping, suburb of Chicago. Jeff, welcome to The Grow Show.
Good afternoon, Marty.
Tell us a little bit about the origin of your business, the sales, the number of branch offices that you have in Chicago. Just tell us a little bit about this wonderful company with beautiful yellow trucks that you've created.
We started this business in 1985. I had worked for a company previously, which had been considered a fairly large landscape operation back in the 80s. And at one point I went to the owner and I said, listen, I think I can do more for you than what I'm doing. And I think there's opportunities that I could be best used as sales, account management, et cetera. And his response to me was, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that because I have four sons that work here and they're going to come first. So that really was kind of the process of kind of kicking me out of the nest there and sending me on my own. It also gave me the sense that I wanted to create opportunity. I wanted to create opportunity because I wasn't given opportunity. And it's kind of been a motto all along. So flash forward to today, we're running 9 locations. We're in 2 states. We're producing a little over $60 million in revenue. We're primarily maintenance, enhancements, landscape construction, and snow. Those are our primary makeups. We employ over 500 and some odd employees during the heat of the season. And during the winter months, we're anywhere from 100 to 120 individuals, full-time staff.
Do you do some snow too, I assume?
We do snow when it is here. There is snow to plow if it is here. Unfortunately, we've had 2 lean years, as everybody knows.
Yeah. I know sustainability is an enormous part of your focus. Your building is actually a LEED certified building. It's an amazing place. We can't wait to show it off in September. That's your focus. And as I understand it, Jeff, that's a big part of your differentiation in the marketplace. Is that correct?
So we built the building back in 2010, and we got through the whole process of doing it, which is a LEED certified building, leader in energy efficiency design, which, of course, you know, I think we all should succumb to. You know, we want to do better with the resources that we have and minimize our impact. So when building this building, it really came to light. Why are we not taking that same sort of thinking that we did with our building and apply that to the field? So that's where the sustainability concept and efficiency with different types of equipment was born due to the building that we built.
So when we're talking sustainability, and obviously I don't want you giving away all your trade secrets, but when you call on someone, how does sustainability come into the messaging framework? Like what is the positioning of that? How do you feel that benefits you?
Well, a lot of times when we're in a meeting, it's interesting, the customer will actually bring up sustainability because it's such, you know, as AI is a buzzword today, sustainability was the buzzword of the past year. It still is. It still is. And I will tell you that customers will kind of just bring that up naturally. We are known in this marketplace for battery-powered handheld equipment, battery-powered mowers, propane mowers, and solar to help regenerate those handheld battery equipment and the infrastructure that we put in to help support charging these large electric mowers. So again, to answer your question, it happens naturally. It's not something that we have to force, and we are known in this marketplace. Does it give us an edge up? I would say yes, it gives us an edge up to the competition.
Right. And of course, if you didn't do great landscaping work, all the rest of that probably wouldn't
matter
a whole lot.
Doesn't matter.
And I know you're an outstanding contractor. I was in Chicago last weekend, and you know, they're such a great marketplace with wonderful gardens and a lot of people that appreciate landscaping. I wish a lot of those people from Chicago would move to Dayton, Ohio and call me, because there's just beautiful gardens up there, a lot more than what we have here in Dayton. I'm a little curious about your building and what went into choices, because 2010, I mean, we landscaped a very large LEED certified building around the same time. And I know because of the work we did with the architects on this building, what went into that, but what were the choices there? And the building that I'm familiar with is an office building and a learning center. You're talking about an office building with a warehouse. So the LEED part and the sustainability and those things, aside from that, the efficiency setting up the building so that your crew can work efficiently, is there some insight you can share with us on what you did with that?
So there's two buildings. There's the main office building, and then there's the fleet center. So on the main office building, got the designation of a LEED certified building. Because of applying those principles that you would have for a LEED certified building would be very difficult to put out in a fleet center. Not to say that we don't have elements in that fleet
right.
center that are supportive of sustainability. In particular, we have radiant heating that's above all of our vehicles. So when you pull a truck in, it's got snow and ice on it. Pretty much within 15 minutes of being under that radiant heating, it'll melt that snow and ice off versus just using typical, you know, HVAC standard heating. The other thing that's in the fleet center is high efficient lighting. Again, a way to minimize our cost. The building itself, so the office building itself, you know, we have a green roof, which everybody that's in our industry should understand the benefits of having a green roof. Again, high efficiency lighting, radiant heating throughout the building, lots of windows to let in natural lighting, so we're not having to have all the lights on a regular basis, high efficient HVAC system to heat and cool the building. And all of the elements such as wood trim, paneling, all of those items that really when you're going for a LEED certified building, they want you to work within a radius of 300 to 500 miles of purchasing and obtaining materials for your building. One of the cool things that we have in this building is all the paneling work and woodworking is yellow flame birch. And the story of that is all of that wood was recovered from the bottom of Lake Superior. So 200 years, 150 years ago, when they were cutting logs and they were transporting logs, they would use the Great Lakes and they would use the rivers to move these logs into a bay area, store them, and then take them out to do the milling work. Well, a lot of those logs sank to the bottom in Lake Superior. Well, the temperature of Lake Superior water is typically below 40 degrees during the summer months. So bacteria could not get into that wood and degrade that wood. So it was naturally preserved over that course of 100 and some odd years. And we use that throughout the building on all of our doors, paneling, trim, et cetera. And it's pretty cool to have something such as that in our building.
Yes. I know you are a detail guy. Every time I see you, you're in a coat. You always look nice. Your trucks, your website, there's an incredible level of attention to detail. You are not one of these guys that wings anything. I know that. Part of that is great customer service and an experience that someone can really be bowled over by. I know you take a lot of pride in that. Tell us about your philosophy on service and what does great customer service mean at Seabird's?
That means being responsive. When you get a phone call from a client, you better be on that phone within that day to get back to that client. Kind of the rule of thumb. If the client calls you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and leaves you a message, all right, you got a break. Get back to that customer tomorrow morning. But if you don't return that phone call, I often refer to that as the kiss of death, because that customer ultimately is going to get back to us one way or the other if you did not make that return phone call. Quality checks. So I personally get involved. I'll grab a branch manager. I'm starting next week as my first run. I'll get in the truck with that branch manager. I'll drive around, look at accounts, look at their crews, look at the shop, look at the yard, assess the quality of the job sites, making sure that they're dealing with the detail items that are important to help us stand outside the competition. And so the quality certainly helps with the customer service, but doesn't necessarily relate to the same thing. Customer service is really just making sure you're having lines of communication open, that you're responding in the best possible manner. If you have somebody that's difficult to deal with, you need to bring somebody in. So you bring a regional manager in to help facilitate and help work through the issue that you may be having that you feel you can't resolve with that client.
So, I mean, what a wonderful teaching moment for you to be out where the tire hits the road. I don't know of a lot of CEOs, businesses your size, that I've heard doing that. Beyond you, how do you get the rest of this? Because you can't be everywhere. $60 million a year, 9 branches. There's only one Jeff. I mean, it'd take 2 weeks to get through all 9 branches, I would say. I don't know. Maybe you can do a couple a day. But by the time you drive around, look at jobs and everything, have a meal with your manager, that's probably very valuable time. Aside from you doing that, how else does this concept of service permeate the organization?
Well, you're absolutely right. It does take me several weeks to go through it because I try to schedule at least 2 a week. And so it takes several weeks to get through it. So, for instance, today we had our finance meeting. We just got done reviewing what occurred in the month of June. We also take that opportunity after the finance meeting to talk about important issues that are coming up. So, for instance, I'm sure you've had the same in your part of the country there. We've had a lot of rain this year. So the pruning that we just did 2-3 weeks ago is no longer pruned. We need to go back to pruning. So we're talking about items such as pruning. We're talking about the efficiency. We're talking about the hours. We're trying to get things on the table that a typical branch manager is having to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And we're trying to talk about not only finances, but issues that have to come up every single month. As the season progresses, things change and you have to react to the season.
Oh, and I am by no means going to compare Grunder Landscaping to Seabird's because we're about a fifth of your size, a fourth of your size. But I have found as we have grown tremendously the last couple of years, Jeff, that you've got to stay on top of stuff like what you're talking there. Like, it's not like you say, oh, well, communication, we got that figured out. What other issue is there? Well, we have good financial reporting, so I don't really have to worry about that. And customer service, I mean, I think my guys get it. I'm going to look at some other things. And I think, folks, listening today, Jeff Seabird from Seabird Landscaping, host of our NALP Grow Group field trip in September on the Grow Show here, powered by Steel. I think what we're saying, this is some great advice. Like, you got to talk about, you got to inspect what you expect. You got to get out there. You got to show what's important by where you're spending your time is what I'm hearing you say. And the fact that you take that time to do that, a great teaching point, and it shows everyone in the organization what's important, the customer.
And you know, I actually enjoy it. I like the one-on-one conversation with that branch manager, spending time with them, hearing about what things are going on in their life, and also be able to see what they're doing out there for the company, and are they following through on the things that they said they were going to follow. So I actually enjoy it.
Yeah, and I could see that. I mean, when, again, I'm learning listening to you, and I'm aware here that I haven't done as good a job at that, and that's something I can learn from you. How else does the company make sure that the client's happy? Do you do surveys? Are there secret shoppers? Do you have other people out? Tell us a little bit about how you make sure you're providing a superior level of service beyond you doing this personal work.
So we have a customer service line that is posted to all of our clientele where they can call in to a customer service line. And if they have an issue or a problem that has not been dealt with or something above and beyond, we can hear it through that means. We also do surveys. So our surveys are going out within the next week or two here, which will be polling all of our clientele and asking them all those pertinent questions that you want answered to understand, are we providing that service that is expected? And are we doing all the things that we should be doing? And I think there's great value in that. I also think that you have to be careful at some of the responses that you get, because it doesn't necessarily always indicate the exact truth behind a situation, but it opens up the doors to look into that issue to validate it, whether it's true or not.
So I think I know what you're talking about. Can you give an example?
Well, a lot of times when if you're dealing within the HOA communities, you know, you really got in some cases 100 bosses, okay?
I see.
Each one of them has a different opinion on how that landscape should be maintained.
I see.
And so there's a contract, but in the individual's eyes that's looking at that property, they don't necessarily know what's in the contract or what's not in the contract. And so you can get marks that are not necessarily favorable just because of that situation and having 100 bosses. Yeah.
No, that makes great sense, folks. There's some great advice there. And you know, no matter what size business that's joined us today on the Grow Show, whether you're $500,000 or maybe you're bigger than Jeff's business, there's a lot of ways we can get feedback from clients. And you're right, you got to take it with a grain of salt, because as you say that, I know sometimes I've gotten negative surveys and I go out and I meet them. You know, I had a client one time tell me that the plants just died. We got bad plants. Well, they never watered them. I mean, I went to stick a moisture meter in the ground. It was like concrete. I mean, they're not going to grow on their own. So, you know, you probably can relate to this, but you end up getting kind of tactful in your answers while, you know, also horticulture is a science. I mean, there are physiological reasons that things don't do well, and you can explain that. The approach to sales, you got a great brand, beautiful trucks. I'd encourage all of you folks listening to us right now, go to their website and look at the branding. It's a unique yellow color. It's a beautiful color. It's not weird, but it's different, I guess is how I would describe it. It's striking. It stands out in the marketplace. I know you spend extra money to get those trucks yellow instead of just buying a stock white, but the customer service, the sustainability. Talk to us a little bit about sales, about how your branding and your core values is impacting sales.
Before I do that, I'm going to touch on the fact of the color yellow and how that came about. So my first truck that I purchased was from an individual in the community where I grew up, and it happened to be a yellow truck, which I thought, well, that's kind of unusual. So I had that truck and I would, you know, drive that truck around and visit friends or whatever. And all of a sudden my friends would start teasing me about the truck. They would say Yellow Fairy, Yellow Canary. They'd have all kinds of little names for me because of that truck. And I thought, you know what? That's good. If people are giving me a hard time and teasing me about the color of my truck, this is a brand color that I'm going to use for my entire fleet moving forward. And that was with the first yellow pickup truck that I that ever started.
Great story. I love it.
So back to the sales aspect of things, you know, the best salesperson, and yes, we've got the backup. We've got all the things, you know, the nice trucks and the nice facilities and good people. But when it comes to sales, it really comes down to one thing, perseverance. Perseverance on the phone, calling prospects, getting in front of those prospects, hoping to close on that deal. If you don't close on that deal this year, well, I've got them in my file for next year. And I'm going to continue to call that person. And the best people that are in the sales portion of our business are people who are perseverance at what they're doing, and they just stay at it. And I'll tell you what, we've got a couple of individuals that work for us that just do outstanding jobs when it comes to new sales.
Can you develop perseverance in a salesperson, or is that something you feel they either have as an intrinsic value or they don't?
You know, that's a good question. But my findings have often been that it's kind of inherent. That person comes to you that already has those types of skills that they know how to apply. I'm not telling you that you can't train someone to do that, but I'll tell you what, my experience has always been they've had some sort of previous sales experience. They like sales. They enjoy being in front of a clientele. I often looked at it when I did sales myself. I enjoyed it because I felt I was a detective. I went out. I met with the prospect. I got in front of them. I'd ask them questions about their business and what they were doing for business. And, you know, if I got a tour of their facility, that was great. But I showed interest because I truly was interested. What are you doing for business? What makes your business what it is? How does things function here? And I think showing that interest in what they were doing opened doors for myself. But that same kind of attitude is being applied by the sales force that we have currently today.
Yeah, and I would agree with everything you said. We find here at Grunder Landscaping Company that you either have drive or you don't. Like, you're motivated to get a commission. You get a thrill out of taking care of a customer, solving a problem, or you don't. I mean, can we get people because of our systems to do well? But our top performers are the ones that they're just really driven. Like, you don't have to remind them to use the system or the other things. They just do it naturally. The last couple years, most of the members of our peer groups, Jeff, they were order takers. The conversations were more about, when can you start? Are you sure you can do it? You know, the leverage was definitely in our little world. Maybe it's different for you. That's why I want to ask you this. The leverage was definitely with the contractor. The last year, we've had to be order makers. We've had to create more sales. We've had to look for more things to hit the revenue goals that we have. Have you experienced the same thing? And if you have, tell us what you're doing to sell enhancements. Do you have any nuggets for us there?
So I agree. The market has changed. A couple of things have happened. You know, we went through COVID. We went through the supply chain issue. We went through the labor shortage. Those are three major components that really affected our business and every other business out there for really, when you look back, I'm going to say 4 years. 4 years, we were put in that position where your customer was MIA. they weren't on premises any longer. And so you would go out and look at a property, write a proposal, and they would sign off on it a lot of times, even though they were remote. And so I guess I'm back to what you just said, which is being an order taker versus going out and filling the orders and providing your customer with opportunities. So here, what we do with our base, we're expecting a percent of an overall contract. So if you got a $10,000 contract with us, our expectation is that we should be able to sell 50% of enhancements to that client based on the fact that we're servicing them already, we're walking out on that property. And what we say is we want you to identify anything and everything on that property that needs to be dealt with from the landscaping. And, you know, some of our folks will say, why should I don't think they're going to spend the money on this. It really doesn't matter at the end of the day whether they're going to spend the money, because what happens is if you don't go out and propose those items and that person's boss comes in town and all of a sudden they're looking, why don't you deal with that dead tree that's in the front of the property? What about that fallen tree that's in the back? And if there's a proposal, you're covering yourself. You're making sure that at the end of the day, you put a proposal in front of your client. If they chose not to spend that money for whatever reason, that's between them and their ownership.
Free, I have been teaching sales for 25 years. I think I'm pretty smart, and I've never heard it presented in that fashion. I will give you credit, but I'm going to steal that because you are absolutely correct. The way that I have taught it is if you go to your doctor to say you're not feeling well, and the doctor goes to look at you and sees a piece of skin or a mole that he's concerned about, but says, I don't think I'm going to tell Marty about that because he might not want to spend the money and it's really none of my business. Well, no one would want a doctor like that. But I've never presented it as, listen, you want to make your client look good and show them what's wrong. And if they decide not to do it, that's okay. But I'm going to show you what we could do with this property because I'm the professional. I love how you presented that.
Thank you.
That's brilliant.
Thank you.
It is. It's brilliant. And 50%, that's strong. That, you know, our mutual friend Frank Mariani said one time, every landscape in America needs a flat of Pacassandra. Metaphorically speaking, what Frank was inferring was that you can't tell me, I'm sure you and I could go to Frank's beautiful gardens at his home, and we could say, hey, look, you could do this, you could do that, you could do that. Now, Frank might say we're crazy, but even his perfect landscape could use something. I'm sure when we come for the field trip September 17th and 18th, your building is going to look amazing. But I'm sure we all could look and say, well, you could do this, or you could do that, or you could do that. That's what we should be doing as professionals, isn't it?
That would be my expectation, is absolutely. We're always trying to better what we're doing and how we're providing service. We are not perfect. We have many issues, as many other contractors out there have. And I guess the difference is, if we're not perfect, we're trying to solve whatever that is. And it's, you know, it's partly having the right information in front of you to be able to digest that and then make the correct decisions moving forward. So yes, imperative to deal with all the things that we have to deal with as contractors. You know, I was also thinking about when I first started the business, and maybe you could relate to this as well. Landscaping was always considered not a professional type of industry or business. And we were kind of frowned upon in my mind. And that made me think from day one, I need to do a job of changing that perception of who we are as an industry. And so even back in the day when I first started, and I'd be an account manager and I'd be a supervisor, I was wearing every hat possible, I always dressed nice. And I used to have, again, acquaintances or friends say, oh, you're the best dressed landscaper I know. And again, part of it was I like dressing, but I also like to make sure that the perception that I'm giving to my clientele is the right perception. And that's true with my staff. We don't accept jeans. We want khakis. We want a Seabird shirt with a logo on it. We do not want gym shoes. We want a nice pair of boots or shoes that work well with your outfit. But jeans are unacceptable. Wearing some other type of shirt other than a Seabird shirt with a logo on it would be unacceptable. And those are simple little things. But I think it makes a difference from the eyes of your clientele.
It's so true. I often say if we went to the airport and got on the United Airlines flight someplace, and all the flight attendants looked like they just got done cleaning the garage, most of us would be like, I'm going to get off this plane. If a police officer pulled you over and gets out of the car and doesn't have a uniform on, I mean, you're going to be like, this is, I'm hitting the gas. I'm out of here. Yeah, but you're right. And it's, you know, so much of a brand is obviously what you say, it means a lot, but what you do matters. And I think attention to detail, like what you're talking about, I think some, I'm saying some, not all, younger contractors may not realize how much it's communicating when you look good. I think you make a great basic point there that gets overlooked as a part of what you should be thinking about to make your company different from everyone else.
Absolutely. Perception is 99% of reality. Yeah.
It is. It is. So September 17th and 18th, the NALP Grow Group field trip. We're going to be there. You're going to have hundreds of landscapers. We often joke, Jeff, rifling through your underwear drawers. It's a tough deal. Folks there wanting to learn. They're all excited. But I know you and your team are excited as well. What are you most excited for for attendees to glean when they're there on site?
You know, I think the most interesting thing that most people will want to know a lot about is the conversion from propane gas-powered mowers to electric. I'm going to guess, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to probably say we're the largest commercial contractor using electric mowers to the amount that we are. I mean, we've put the infrastructure in to recharge all of these trailers. Each one of these trailers has anywhere from 2 to 3 electric mowers in there. There's 19 crews running out of the Bartlett facility here, and all of them have been converted over to the electric. So I think that is really interesting. The fact that all of the handheld equipment, other than blowers, because blowers are still not where we need them to be, are pretty much all handheld, battery-powered, handheld equipment as well. So that's my perception of what people, I think, are going to be truly interested in. Plus the building, the building is very attractive and it's very nice. But you can spend less money and not have all the bells and whistles and do a very nice building and be LEED certified within this marketplace or other marketplaces.
Jeff, is there anything else you want to share with us? I so appreciate you being with us today.
Yeah, I just think, you know, plan on coming out and having a nice time and enjoy, hopefully have great weather so that we can go through the day and not be interrupted by bad weather. We've had so much rain over the last 2 to 3 months, and I think that's the entire Midwest. So I don't think I'm telling anybody something they don't know.
Well, I have been known to bring the bear of good weather, so we will hope that will happen again. Many of you that follow me know that my wife is from Chicago. I've spent the last 34 years going to Chicago to visit her family. It is a wonderful community, wonderful town. I know you hear about the negativity. Two of my kids live up there. I've been up there 3 times so far this year. I guess there's bad parts, but I don't know where it is because I haven't seen any of it. I think it's vastly overblown. That's the world according to Marty Wham. And September, Chicago. Oh my gosh, that's a great time of the year to visit Chicago. So, Jeff, we so appreciate what you're doing. I can't wait to learn more. I've enjoyed getting to know you. I appreciate the seriousness by which you take this business and the professionalism. You're a beacon of hope, that's for sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the Grow Show this week, powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, folks, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us, share this episode with your team or any landscape pro you know. Thanks for joining us on The Grow Show this week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.